You're listening to sermons from Christ the Savior Orthodox Church. We're a small but growing mission of the Orthodox Church in America, currently meeting in Brewer, Maine. We'd love to have you join us for service, but until then, here's Father Scott with this week's sermon.
All men wisdom, stand upright, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Gospel according to the evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time, as Jesus came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I'm reminded of the verse where Jesus says that the eye is the gate of the body. The eye is where that light enters in. And having just come out of theophany, we're talking about Jesus and we're singing about Jesus being the light of the world. So it's good when our eyes are open. We can see light. You know, God is always working. I think we talked about this last week when we talked about baptism and the miracles that are seen and unseen that God's doing all the time. God's alive. And he's always working. He's working in our world to open our eyes and to draw us and others to saving faith. Just like the light that he provided that guided those wise men to where the Lord lay in that cave long ago. We're guided by Christ. We're guided by the true light, by our God and Trinity, who seeks to save us and to bring us to the knowledge of the truth, to open our eyes. Yes, spiritual eyes, and also our physical eyes. So today's gospel event fits into that paradigm of light and bringing light to us, to our darkened souls. God, passing by, opened a man's eyes. And so it is that he seeks to open our eyes and bring light to us. And he proves this through his divine miracles. So it was that one day this man was sitting by the wayside. He was in a place called Jericho, which we're well familiar with. It's where the Jews crossed into the Holy Land, where they had that great victory where the walls fell down. Jericho is a very low place. And I was thinking about that this morning on my way in. I said, how low was it really? Because I know the Dead Sea is considered, I guess, the lowest place on earth. Well, Jericho sits at minus 846 feet. That's the elevation. It's a very low place. Do we get the picture? Man is sitting in a low place. He's in darkness. He's got the weight of darkness upon him. A very low place, like Jericho is physically low. And he needs light into that darkness to be lifted out of that low place and brought to a high place. And Jerusalem's thousands of feet above. It's almost 4,000 feet from Jericho up to Jerusalem in just a few miles. We get the meaning of this, and the secret meaning, if you will, that God's lifting us up from Jericho, the low place, to the high place by giving us light. And so this man, we learned from the other gospel account in Mark, his name was Bartimaeus, which means son, Bar, Jonah, Bar, Timaeus, right? Son of honor. This man, Bartimaeus, was sitting there, and Jesus came by. He was begging. He was begging for money. That's what he did sitting beside the road, generally. He was looking for money. And hearing the multitudes passing by, he said, "What's going on?" Not being able to see this throng coming. He just heard the noise. Perhaps the beat of the footsteps in the dirt reverberated into his soul. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming." They said, "Jesus, a man from a place." But he connected this Jesus and what he'd heard about Jesus to Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, the Messiah. And having that view of God there in his presence, he began crying out, saying this prayer. It's a prayer. It's a cry. He says, "Jesus, not just the Son who comes from Nazareth, but the Son of David who comes from Nazareth. You, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who can truly have great mercy on us beyond what God can? Sure, man can have a little bit of mercy on us. Man can save our life. But only God can truly have mercy on all of you. Your body and your soul. That's why the Lord says, "Don't fear him that can cast your body into prison or beat you with many stripes. Fear him who has control over your soul's destiny." And so he cries out with that in mind, that this is the Messiah. This is God before him. God sent one. Special one. He cries out and he says, "Have mercy on me." Now they that were there, that were leading the throng perhaps, maybe even the same ones that said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth coming, he's behind us." Here, those same ones, some of them said, "He should be quiet." They rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. And he says, "Stop crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I don't know if they would have said that if he said, "Jesus, Son of Nazareth," or "Jesus of Nazareth." But he was saying, "Son of David." They rebuked him, I don't believe out of malice. I think they didn't want to trouble the master. That's what the fathers generally say in the commentaries, that they were doing it out of kindness to preserve Jesus from bother. From a poor man begging for alms money beside the road which he was passing by with a great crowd. He was a busy man. They wanted to protect him. And they rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but it says he cried out so much the more. You know, there's volume there. That cry. He's shouting out for mercy from God. He's screaming. He's in a desperate place. He cries louder and louder. He's begging. He's pleading as if nothing else matters but that he'd have mercy from God. He's begging. He's strong in faith. He's persisting despite the rebukes, despite the crowd's opinion. He's not afraid to say, "This is Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One of God, who comes to save and heal us." He's not afraid. He says it louder and louder. He cries. He can't be silenced. Is this us? Or does our cry for mercy stop so easily? He cries. And Jesus, hearing his commands, he orders that this man be brought. It's not an option for those that said, "Be silent." Jesus says, "Bring him." And they grab him and they bring him before the Lord. And when he's before the Lord says, the Lord already knows the answer. But he says, "What will you that I do unto you?" The reason he said that is because he was normally begging for alms, for money. And it would be very easy for anyone to give him money. But he wanted people, the Lord Jesus wanted people to know that this man was asking for something in that mercy cry, which was miraculous that only God could provide. And so Jesus says, "What will you that I do unto you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Lord, I need my sight. Not man, I need alms, I need money. But God, I need my sight. Jesus knows the answers to what he wants. And now we know that he wants a miraculous healing. I guess at that point, those around kind of gasped. He wants a miracle. He's calling for mercy, and he wants a miracle. And the Lord says to him, receive your sight. Your faith that I am truly the Messiah has saved you. He says, it's given you physical and spiritual sight. He already had some faith, didn't he, to cry out. And so these things go together. Your physical sight, standing for all your senses as the king of the senses, if you will. The gate by which things come in and your perception is augmented. That physical eyesight is important. That enables you to see the miracle that occurred to this blind man as you're standing in that crowd, the hundreds of them, maybe thousands. But spiritual sight is also important. And that's what really saves you. You see, God gave him the physical sight where it was already a measure of spiritual eyesight. Both were increased. Both were important. Jesus speaks, and it says in another one of the Gospels, he also touched. You know, divinity resides in the Lord Jesus Christ. It resided fully in him, in his body, in his physical body. His touch healed. His voice healed. His presence healed. His words healed. Everything about him was divine, and it was healing, and it was good, and it was beautiful, and it brought people out of darkness and out of a low place, and it raised them up to be with him. That's what his desire was. That's why he walked among us. That's why he died. That's why he rose again, and that's why he went to heaven, and that's why he's pleading with us now, and he's trying to open our eyes now that we could be with him because he loves us. His divinity was on full display. Immediately, this man received his sight, and he followed the Lord. You know, when God opens our eyes, I think he commands us, yes, but his desire is that we would follow him. I love this verse in Acts where it says that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. It seems like it's a stupid verse to remember, but it sticks with me so much because it defines what a Christian is. The disciples were called Christians. They were disciples, and then they were called Christians. Followers is a disciple. When God touches us, when God opens our eyes, he expects us to follow him. It's very simple. He shows us himself. He reveals his beauty. He reveals his power, his miracles, and his desire that we be changed creatures, that we live in light, not darkness, not be in a low place, but be lifted up to a beautiful place in our homes, in our families, in our work, in our relationships, in all that we put our hands to, that God gets glory, and that we are satisfied in him through his work in our lives. This is God touching us. These examples in Scripture are for our admonition that we've learned that we need to follow him when we receive our sight. When he opens it up, we're going to follow him. And it says that he glorified God. He followed him glorifying God. What else could you do? What's the natural response? Remember several times Jesus would heal somebody and say, don't tell anybody about it. That wasn't the natural thing to do, was to tell people, hey, I just got healed. Well, here, the natural thing is what he did. He glorified God, and all the people, when they saw it, it says gave praise unto God. Praise reverberated throughout the area, throughout the thousands of people. And it spread, and it's still spreading today because we're talking about that event today. Light's coming in to darkened, blind eyes because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us and his miracles in this world that he does. Well, the people glorified God. Everybody did. Can we appreciate this miracle? Truly appreciate it. Imagine you yourself being that guy. Imagine you, Christian, today sitting in your seat. You've got problems and things which bother you greatly, and they're not little tiny things like, you know, I need a raise at work or something. It's like blindness is a heavy burden. It's like cancer in the family is a heavy burden. It's like the loss of a spouse, the loss of a loved one. It's like some great disappointment in your life. Can we appreciate what God did that day? And how great it was to open that man's sight that day? I hope we can. Well, upon hearing this miracle and seeing this miracle, people's lives were changed. They gave glory to God, it says, and they were moved from darkness to light. They were moved from small faith to greater faith, and from great faith to even greater faith. Bartimaeus had I would say, fairly large faith to crawl out against the crowd that he's not just Nazareth, he's the son of David. Well, all these things, from doubt to belief, people were moved by their eyes getting opened, spiritual and physical eyes getting opened. I think as individuals today, we've got many different places we're in. There's many different degrees of light shining in our lives, through our lives that come from the Lord. We need more light. Are we like this blind man? Are we ready to call upon him when he passes by? And to call loudly, fearlessly, boldly, confidently to the Lord? And are we able to cast off the fear of men, our own doubts, and to really open our senses and our perception? Yes, our physical eyes, so that our spiritual eyes can see. It says in the scripture that if any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine whether I speak of God or myself. That was Jesus speaking. Christianity is self-authenticating. If you do what God tells you to do, if you, in other words, respond to his light, you will find that it's authentic, the teaching. Your physical eyes are open to see, like the people in that crowd were that day, that this is God working and God's good. You see what's done to someone else, or you see what God does in your own life. And you realize that God's light is real and what God says is true. So God seeks to open our senses and to open our perception that we, when we cry out, we do so in expectation that God is going to work. You see, Bartimaeus is an example for us that God honors those who believe in him. That's why he's called Bartimaeus, the son of honor. He receives honor because he believes. And so we have to believe, and we can see in the lives of those that really follow God, in the lives of the saints, for example, that when we follow God, God honors us. We do so in faith. We don't know what the end of our journey is going to be, but we do so in faith that it will be good, that God is good. But also, not only does God work in our own lives and we see the results and we move forward, we see what God does in other people's lives. Yes, Bartimaeus' eyes were opened and his faith grew greatly. So would mine if I was blind. You imagine yourself sitting there blind, probably a long time, collecting alms at the bottom of the food chain. God opens your eyes and your life is changed. Well, not only through what God does immediately to you, and keep a record of those things, Christian, write them in front of your Bible on the blank pages or whatever. But also, if you just open your eyes, you can see what God does around you. And the effect of God working in somebody's lives is positive. It's real. It's good. This also elevates us, whether through actions that God does to us directly or through things that he does to other people, and vicariously we get the benefit, as we do when we read Scripture, right? When we hear about the lives of a great saint, the triumph in terrible conditions that may rival what we experience. All these things lift us up, whether done directly to us or done to others. We can be drawn to a greater and saving faith. We're open to see him, to hear him, to experience God's work. Indeed, we need to let God open our eyes, but we also need to open them ourselves. There's a synergistic effort here. God works, we work. Open our eyes. Let God open your eyes, and you're going to see that God's working in your life, in our world, all around you, that we might believe and we might be healed like Bartimaeus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You can listen to more sermons and learn more about us by visiting our website at orthodoxmaine.org. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God be with you.